Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Moldane. Coming up later this hour, Aaron Schock, a conservative former U.S. congressman from Peoria, voted against repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell and opposed same-sex marriage. He also recently came out as gay. We'll get reactions from members of the LGBT community who have been elected to political office. Later, we'll also check in with Olympic hopefuls from Illinois. But first, all this week on the 21st, we've been taking a look at how the spread of the coronavirus is affecting our state. While a majority of people experience mild symptoms if they're exposed, health experts say it's the elderly who are at most at risk of complications from the virus. So what does this mean for the 400 assisted living facilities in Illinois, and what steps can healthy people take to avoid exposing groups who are more vulnerable to the virus? We're joined now by Dr. Teresa Rowe. She's a geriatrician and infectious diseases specialist at Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Rowe, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks so much.
Doctor, how might being exposed to the coronavirus be different for someone who's over 65, say, compared to a younger person?
Yeah, so, you know, similar to, you know, most respiratory viruses, actually older adults and those with multiple medical comorbidities or conditions tend or increased risk or the highest risk of being affected by this new virus and at increased risk of serious illness.
And when we talk about risk, is it more the age of the person, or is it that those age groups are more likely to have some underlying health conditions?
So I think it's actually a combination of both, which is why, you know, we both, you know, say that age can be a risk factor. So if you're, you know, generally older than age 60 or 65, you're more likely, you know, to have a worse outcome. But also, even if you're younger and you have medical, comorbidities such as heart disease or lung disease.
A few weeks ago, doctors seemed to be more concerned about flu transmission than the coronavirus. Is this virus more dangerous than the flu for older populations?
Yeah, so they're both, you know, pretty serious in older populations. I think what's different about this virus is that there's so much uncertainty and so much unknown, and the fact that, you know, we just don't know a lot about it right now. So I think that that's why this, in addition to flu, are such big concerns.
What do we know about the spread of this virus? Is it more easily spread than other viruses like the flu?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. Again, I think there's a lot of uncertainty about this virus. So I think there's a lot more we'll learn as things go on. But yes, it does seem to be quite contagious and probably more so than the flu.
What steps do you recommend that family members take to protect their older relatives?
Yeah, so certainly older adults that are living in the community should most likely practice what we call sort of social distancing, where they minimize their interactions with others. If possible, you know, avoid going to things like the grocery store, have, you know, a family or friends bring groceries in, and just really kind of limit those activities. So things like, you know, bingo or dancing or things that they might be doing. Otherwise, try to stay away from that for at least the next couple of weeks while we learn more information.
What about nursing homes or other places where older people live in groups or congregate? What steps do you hope that those places are taking?
Yeah, so, you know, this is certainly a population that's most vulnerable and at highest risk of being affected, I think, by the virus. There's I would definitely direct people to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website, which has a very comprehensive plan that nursing homes can take to help both prevent the virus, but also how to manage a respiratory outbreak. You know, what family and friends can do is really try to minimize, again, their visits with their loved ones. You know, that can be hard, but, you know, really non-urgent visits, try to minimize as much as possible. And certainly, you know, if healthcare workers are sick, that nursing homes enforce sick leaves for those healthcare workers.
That's Dr. Teresa Rowe. She's a geriatrician and infectious disease specialist at Northwestern University. Dr. Rowe, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And as Dr. Rowe mentioned, nursing homes and retirement communities in Illinois are also taking measures to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Many of us have parents or grandparents who are on our minds as concerns about the virus escalate. Yesterday, our producer Libby Foster went to check in with her grandmother. Here's what she was told as she pulled up.
Hi.
Help you?
Am I able to go visit my grandma?
No.
Okay. Are they
complete lockdown? You can't go anywhere.
Okay, complete lockdown. They're not letting anybody in?
Anybody.
Okay.
I here?
Hi. So, yeah, they're not letting me in.
At all. Do you want me? I can get in the car, drive out, meet you uptown as you go to Starbucks or something.
I'm Mary Mason. I'm 87 years old, and I live at the Moorings of Arlington Heights, which is a continuing care retirement community. We have been advised to not have visitors. Young children under 18 aren't able to come in anymore. So all of a sudden today, it's become quite stricter. I think fear is a problem, particularly for people our age. And I don't know what you do to tone that down, but whenever you hear somebody who's an expert say that it's going to hit harder at the older population, I think people our age can't help but be nervous.
That's 87-year-old Mary Mason speaking with her granddaughter, producer Libby Foster. I'd like to bring a few more voices into the conversation now. Deb Reardance is president and CEO of Clark Lindsay, a not-for-profit retirement community in Urbana. Deb, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm also joined by Tessa French, who works with Senior Services of Central Illinois. They provide case management services in the Springfield area, including transportation and meals. Tessa, welcome.
Thank you.
And Matt Hartman is also with us. He's executive director of the Illinois Healthcare Association, an advocacy organization that represents long-term care facilities in the state. Matt, glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Deb, let's start with you. What changes have you had to make at Clark Lindsay because of COVID-19?
You know, much as a woman interviewed up from Arlington Heights, we have implemented many of those same things. We've been restricting visitors and screening visitors as they come in, and preparing residents, encouraging them not to leave the facility. We have both independent living and skilled care and assisted living, and so looking at all the needs of those populations, but all of them meet the high risk that the doctor talked about in terms of being over the age of 60. We have offered assistance and for residents to shop online, and we are monitoring residents on a more regular basis regarding temperatures and such. And now we are in the process of closing down to essential visitors only. So, again, turning away visitors that aren't absolutely essential to the healthcare providing or the well-being of the resident. This includes closing down group activities, looking at our dining arrangements so that residents have the option of receiving their meals in their apartments, or if they do come to the dining room, that there is social distance may be maintained. We're also looking at freeing up rooms so that our staff will have a place to stay if they are asked to work extra shifts. And we are ready to provide daycare for staff should the schools here in Champaign-Urbana close, which they have not yet, but yeah. We are anticipating that once the cases are become confirmed. So.
Okay. Yeah. Tessa, I understand your organization has had to temporarily halt some of its programs. Could you talk about the changes that you've made?
Yeah, absolutely. The Springfield Senior Center is actually temporarily closed to the public except by appointment only. So we do still have all of our staff in. They are still doing their casework services. We have 7 total congregate locations that provide meals for seniors throughout Central Illinois. All of those congregate sites are now closed, also temporarily effective immediately. We don't want seniors to go without having a meal, so individuals that did come to the congregate sites do have the option to pick up a box lunch. They do have to request a meal 24 hours in advance. All of our home-delivered meals that we provide for individuals who are not able to get out of their house to get meals, we are still delivering those meals. All of our upcoming programs and activities, all the daily activities that we do, the special programming, all of that is canceled until further notice. And our senior transport is actually only providing transportation for medical appointments at this time.
Matt, what is the Illinois Healthcare Association recommending that nursing homes and long-term care facilities do?
Sure, certainly. We are very much in line with the recommendations of the individuals from Central Illinois Senior Services and Clark Lindsay. As you all know, the risk to our resident population is probably higher than in any other group. So we're taking this very seriously. And we're putting out daily guidance to our members, both through the Illinois Healthcare and through our national affiliate at the American Healthcare Association. So isolation and separation practices, we're strongly encouraging, giving guidance on those. We've taken a strong stance on restricting visitation and screening all visitors to the facilities. So restricting to essential workers, to government employees who are there for survey purposes, and then to individuals who are coming to see their loved ones for end-of-life care. Because while we have to strike that balance, we also have to realize that there are quality-of-life concerns and we need to meet those. For the rest of those individuals, though, we're encouraging visitation through FaceTime or through conference calling or through another means, through Skype. So visitor restriction is a big piece of it. We've scaled back activities, so there are no outside activities happening in buildings anymore. That's been our guidance to members. It's been widely adopted. As I said, all individuals who are in the building, we do a screening. We do a screen for presentation of symptoms. We are doing fever screenings. We're doing questioning, sign-in. Have you been traveling to the highly impacted areas across the country or across the world, and restricting folks from entering who have those?
Go ahead, Matt.
No. As well, you know, common practice during flu season we also have in place. So hand washing upon entry of the building and things in line with that. And as well, we've set up some strict processes to allow those remote communications for residents and others.
Sure. Tessa, I imagine, you know, some of this news could be disappointing to people who use your programs. Of course, you want to keep everybody safe, but there's also, you know, the potential for some isolation and loneliness here. How do you try to balance that with the services you offer?
Well, a lot of the services we offer do help combat social isolation, so that is a concern for us. At this time, with the risks of the coronavirus, we feel that it's important to keep our seniors' health and safety in mind, and then we'll be able to get back to really working on the social isolation side. But it's not going to be very effective for us to work on that if we're making our seniors, if they're getting sick from being in these group settings.
Right. And Deb, you know, what have you been hearing from residents and family members about these changes?
I will say the overall reaction has been very positive, and they're grateful that we are staying ahead of the curve on this. And I would echo what Tessa said about worrying about the social isolation. No one knows how long these measures will have to be in place. And everyone's attitude about doing what they can to help keep the community safe is very positive. But over time, that will be difficult to maintain, and I worry about that. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Sure. And Deb, I'm just curious if you can kind of just walk us through your decision-making process on these things. Have you been, you know, following CDC guidelines? Are you getting recommendations from state and other national agencies? What information are you using here?
Yeah, so it is information overload, but we are staying true to reconciling the recommendations from CDC, from Illinois Department of Public Health, and from the local Champaign-Urbana public health agency. So sometimes there are minor contradictions, and in the cases where we can take the safest route, we are. But we're also part of Leading Age Illinois, which is a network of not-for-profit nursing homes across the state. And so there's a lot of reaching out to members and peers who are in the hot spots of the state and are maybe having to move into action even faster. And so there's a lot of sharing, and that has been extremely helpful and supportive.
Matt, just about a minute left here, but I'm curious, have you learned anything from this outbreak? Are the facilities in Illinois that you advocate for, are they generally prepared, or have you learned about some gaps maybe?
I think for the most part they're prepared. We deal with the flu season every year, and we take similar precautions. Obviously, with the high mortality rate of coronavirus and with how it spread in Seattle, we have to be extra diligent, and I find that we are. The place where we have some concern is with the availability of personal protection equipment, so that's something we're monitoring closely. Our members know to reach out to us, to the Department of Public Health. But I think that the plans that we have in place, our emergency preparedness and our infection prevention plans, are working to date because we have yet to see a case in a center. And because of the virulent nature of the virus, I suspect it may eventually make its way in, but we feel strong where we are right now.
Okay, I'm going to have to cut you off right there, Matt, unfortunately. Matt Hartman, Executive Director of the Illinois Healthcare Association, Tessa French with Senior Social Services of Central Illinois, and Deb Reardance with Clark Lindsay. Thank you all for joining us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.